Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. C-Mace, Chris Mason, it's a day full of just Masons.
Absolutely.
He will join us in 30 minutes, but Willie D is back in the fold. Welcome back, Willie. D Mace is here as well. How are we doing?
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
Conquered the Big Apple. We
get on home. Yeah, very good win. Very good win last night. A lot of good things.
And that is where I want to start.
Jimmy Fallon was in the house, too.
Was so he really?
So he got a chance to see the beatdown.
The Predators?
Yeah. Preds fan, I'm guessing.
We'll say he's a Pred fan.
We're going to make him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'll make him one.
Absolutely. He's a Pred fan. I'm going to spread that around. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon's a Pred fan.
Yeah, I think he listens to the show.
I think so, too.
Maybe so. Pat McAfee was watching last night. He did a little tweeting about Mr. Forsberg, so people are noticing.
I did see that. Yeah. Interesting how whenever Pat McAfee show got bought by ESPN, that he tweets a lot more about hockey.
I like it. Well, not all their hosts do. That's for sure. Some hosts really take pride in saying, I don't know anything about hockey, which I can't understand. Is you're on a national show talking about sports, and you go on national TV and say, ha, I don't follow hockey. Mm. Oh, you guys follow hockey. I don't follow hockey. But that's why I give McAfee credit.
Yeah,
so he's saying, I'm doing a segment about hockey.
Following it somehow,
some
way.
Hockey is awesome.
They have a hockey show on their like I guess brand, whatever you want to call it, Hockey Talk.
On McAfee? Show?
Yeah.
He's got a segment called Hockey is Awesome, and that was the awesome moment last night. Yeah. That slap shot.
Forsberg.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah. And it was good to see Philip Forsberg get that goal bugaboo off his back. He had 3 points in 4 games.
He was getting a lot of assists, tons of shots.
In the net.
Yeah. Nothing was going in until last night. That was a big one.
And I do feel like there's a certain element there of just that hangs over your head until you get it. And it's like, okay, I'm playing a little bit looser now. I got that off my back. I was able to finally get one in the net. All right, let's move forward. Let's go.
I was just going to say, what do you think it was after the Predators, went up to New York and got the beat down of the Rangers 4-1, and it started very early. But what do you think was the difference in that game? Obviously, scoring goals, but in scoring goals, there's a way you play.
Yeah. We were talking about it some. The underlying numbers, even in the game they lost 6-1, were not bad. Like, it was 6-1 on the scoreboard, but it was not a 6-1 statistical game. And that's the weird part about all sports, but definitely hockey, that you have to sort of cling to. And last night, the Predators flat out dominated the game, and they got the goals to go in. That's the thing. Philip Forsberg's, it was a great example. He had not scored a goal, but his numbers were very, very good. The expected goals were there. The shot volume was there. The shot quality was there, but just nothing was going in. So he was finally rewarded last night, had 2 points. Power play kicked in. They did a reasonable job on the penalty kill, stayed out of the box for the most part until they had a big lead. So just a lot of positives for sure. Everybody was pulling the rope. And even guys that aren't really lighting up the scoreboard, like Gus Nyquist, Yakov Trenin, those guys are doing some solid, solid work. I think the only thing to be concerned about after last night was they lost Cody Glass early in the game. So that it didn't look good. I'm not sure what it was. I haven't asked or anything, so maybe we'll find out more today or maybe tomorrow morning. But that looked like something to be concerned about.
Yeah, a little bit iffy there. But, yeah, Preds get it. Like you mentioned, D-Mace, 4-1 in New York. And I said all day yesterday, the savior of this team is going to be Cole Smith.
You've been saying that for
I've been saying that for years.
I'm sure.
The savior of this team is going to be Cole Smith. I knew he was going to have to get 2 goals a game in order for this team to win games.
You know what's funny is he's aware of how much he ridiculed last year for going 40 games without scoring a goal. He was symbolic of what's wrong with the team, I think very unfairly. If you look at a lot of the little things he does, he helps teams win. He's fast. He penalty kills. He hits. He plays the system correctly. He just doesn't score. And then last night, he scored 2.
Yeah.
And so after the first period, he's getting interviewed by Lindsay Rowley, And he even made a crack about his shot. He's like, you know how good of a shooter I am. he actually worked a lot on his shot in the offseason. He's a guy, if he just could get to 10 or 12 goals, that would be a big notch in his value. But it is interesting how brand new coaching staff evaluating the same group of players still picks Cole Smith and says, we got to get Cole Smith out there. So I'm glad to see him getting rewarded. Sometimes it's just confidence. Like he's going to keep getting shots. He's going to keep getting chances. I'm not saying he's going to score 25 goals. But there's a way that a guy like that can chip in key goals. Like last night, that was the game-winning two plays right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
once they got those, they were in the driver's seat the rest of the game. They just kept right on going.
You know, do you think, you know, in this early schedule with such a young team, sometimes it can be, you know, daunting for a young club to go against, you know, your first five or six games are against, you know, say four out of the five or four out of six are against powerhouse teams. And you end up losing in fashions that you did. You know, playing in something like that could do one or two things. It can take a young guy's confidence and send it in the tank, or it can, you know, cause them to go out there and compete even harder because they know, hey, listen, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. It's almost like the whole adage, you know, if you want to be better, you got to play the better teams.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think the beginning of this season is sort of a good thing? I know they would want their record to be a lot better, but playing these tough teams early on to see where we're at as a young team.
I think it's a great point. You think about college basketball, and the good thing about college basketball is teams who play a tough non-conference schedule before the conference season starts, you know, there's a reward for that because they take into account strength of schedule. But, you know, there's a lot of different philosophies. Do I want to go play Murderer's Row because that will make my team better, or do I want to schedule some softies and build my team's confidence because we're going to have success? I think a lot of it's probably a mix, a balance, but I do think there is something to be said for putting yourself up against really good teams. Not like the Predators had a choice, but I was concerned about the first five games. I was worried about something like an 0-4-1 or something, which with a new team putting a new system in there, who knows what you were going to get. But I think by and large, 2-3, very workable.
Yeah.
Now the next challenge is you're playing a team that's not a good team. You know, coming in on Saturday in the Sharks, they're rebuilding. They're in a full rebuild. They've told everybody they're in the long range rebuild. There's going to be some lean years in San Jose, but in the meantime, this is where the Predators have to stay consistent. This is a test for them because, you know, they're not going to be blown away by the lineup that the Sharks put out there.
And I think that one thing that was encouraging to me, and one thing that I actually did say yesterday, not about Cole Smith, was I wanted to see this team respond. You know, you got smacked in the mouth by a really good Oilers team. You got lost 6-1. You go on the road to another really good Rangers team that had one of the best goalies in net in Igor Shesterkin last night. I thought, this is going to be a really difficult challenge. But I don't want to see you tuck your tail between your legs and just kind of throw your hands up and say, well, we're playing really difficult teams, or, oh, we just got beat 6-1. We are no good, so on and so forth. I wanted this team to come back and play with a certain level of fierceness and toughness. And we just got smacked in the mouth, but that's not who we are. We're going to respond because we have another opportunity against another really good team. And I think that's what we saw last night in New York. And I don't know what that is. And Willie, you'll probably have better insight than I do. Is that the system? Is that confidence have a trickle-down effect of some of these young guys kind of, a sense of belief and a sense of confidence from the older guys down to the younger guys? Is that just the culture of this team? Is it a little bit of everything? Because you did see the kind of confidence and the level of fierceness. But I also think that there's a little bit of the system that's involved, that these guys are buying into this system, and it works, that you have the players to play this system at a fairly high level.
I definitely think they're buying in. I like the steadiness. I think what they have tried to put together with the Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist combination, unfortunately, Luke Shen's going to be out for a while, but I think those guys are really helping set the tone. I think there is a belief. And I think what they're seeing, too, they are among the top teams in the league in shots per game. It's a fun system to play in. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of times teams play a real defensive style because it's the only way they have a chance to win. Mm-hmm. But they're playing this go-get-em kind of style. I think that's fun for players to play if you do it right. And I think that's really been the focus, is making sure everybody is on the same page. And you can see what it looks like when it works. So it's very encouraging. For Luke Evangelista, a guy that, you know, had been struggling a little bit, played a real strong game last night, made a great pass for an assist. His possession numbers, his line mates, it was really good. They had to juggle a lot of things. So just a lot of positives last night. They took the game to the Rangers for the whole game. And I would say last year, those kind of games, decisive wins on the road, few and far between over the last couple of years, right? For them to beat the elite teams on the road last year, it was a lot of UC Saros standing on his head, eking a game out 2-1, or the 64 save game in Carolina, where it's just batting down the hatches and hope that he steals it. He had a relatively easy game last night. Probably any goalie might have won that game last night for the Predators. He was not the reason they won. He wasn't one of the three stars. You know, that was a great team win. So that's another positive sign.
Well, the Predators get the win 4-1 over the Rangers. Now, Willie, because I did hear Coach Brunette talk before the game about Peter Laviolette and his system and it not changing much. And, you know, we talked about this with the Cleveland Browns and Schwartz. How well does Schwartz know the Titans offense, you know, seeming that he was just there last year? It seemed like he knew it very well because they dominated the Titans on, you know, as far as from a defensive standpoint. Do you think that was the same way with Coach Brunette knowing, hey, listen, we've seen this before. Some of the players on the team seen this sort of scheme before. So we should have an advantage here.
It's a great question because that was popping around in some of the pregame talks. Peter Laviolette has been coaching in the league since, what, 1998 or early 2000s? It's some 25 years or so. And what most people tell you is he's got very similar stuff now than he did back then. And so you know what you're getting. But like anything else, if you do what your system is well and you have the right players, you win. And that's Peter Laviolette. He's one of the winningest coaches. He's in the top 10, I think, in wins of all time. So that doesn't mean that it's a weakness, but it is something you know you're going to get. So if you do your stuff well against them, I mean, that's kind of how it was. But there's no doubt they knew what was coming last night. And I think Peter Laviolette said after his team's performance, he said they thought they looked a little flat. They weren't quick. They got outskated. And sometimes that's just going to happen. But it's a great cat and mouse game. I thought about Andrew Brunette was the coach of the Panthers. Laviolette 2 years ago was the coach of the Capitals. And Florida had that really good year. They won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
They eventually lost in the second round to the Lightning. And they didn't keep Andrew Brunette as the coach, remember? But in the first round, they did get the best of Laviolette's Capitals. So I think Andrew Brunette kind of had in his mind, he said, okay, what I try to do system-wise will work against his system if we do it right. Mm-hmm. It definitely looked like that last night.
And I've kind of stepped away from these first five games, and it's five games of an 82-game season. Like we've said so many times, and like we will say so many times again, there's a lot of season left. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hockey left to be played. But I've stepped away from the first five games of the Andrew Brunette experience feeling pretty good about this team. I know that 2-3 isn't necessarily the greatest record in the world, and maybe a lot of teams in the league wouldn't feel very comfortable at 2-3 through five games. But from what I've seen, record aside, numbers aside, from what I've seen, I feel pretty encouraged. But what do you think right now, Willie, makes you most encouraged or should make Predators fans most encouraged about this team?
Besides everything I have already said, that, you know, I like the mix of the veterans.
Yeah.
I like the young guys and how they're meshing together. I'm gonna keep leaning on the numbers. You know, I look at the numbers after every game, And last year, even the year before, when they made the playoffs, you could tell there was some overachieving within the games. There was a little too much reliance on UC Soros. In the five games, even the games that they've lost, they have not been underwater with, you know, what are you getting on the offensive end? What are you giving up on the defensive end? It's much, much more balanced, even though they're playing good games. To me, that's what I think most encouraged about. Now, they have to keep doing it every night. That's the name of the game. It's 82 games. It's a marathon. You can't go into two or three weeks where you take a vacation. And so that's why I think tomorrow is going to be a great challenge, is the lineup that they're not going to go in as the underdog, right? This lineup is not going to scare you. When you go to make your bets, if you're one of those people, you're going to see the Predators on the favorite side for the first time on the year, probably. But can they stay with their game? Can they keep playing it? Because, you know, if they do it, then, you know, in theory, they should be able to score some goals and have some success.
Would you say that even about the Edmonton game?
Oh, yeah.
You would?
43 shots.
Yeah.
That was – and there are times where the other team gets in the lead and you keep racking up shots. It's kind of like in fantasy football. Sometimes you want the quarterback who is on a bad team, because at the end of the game they're going to be passing on every down.
Yeah.
And they might get a couple of garbage touchdowns and 300-and-something yards passing, even though they lost, 35-21. But your guy has 300 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, that is sometimes how you rack up shots in a game. But if you look at the quality, like even in the first period, the Predators had the better chances, especially in the first 10 minutes or so. But it was just like every chance they gave up, the Oilers buried it. Or every time the Predators made a couple of really bad mistakes that the Oilers cashed in. So if you kind of look beyond that, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, it was 6-1. It's a blowout. I get that.
Yeah.
It was a lopsided game. But what is your team doing shift in and shift out? How does your system work? And you could see that there were positives in there, even though they lost. They weren't completely annihilated in terms of the stats.
And looking at this team as well, I know one thing that we broke down a couple days ago was special teams. Where was it the penalty kill that was maybe a concern?
Yes, and
was
it still is.
The going up kill against still some is. Of the best power plays in the league, or is it a little bit of both? And we talked to Elliot Friedman yesterday, and he's like, well, yeah, of course you're playing some of the best power plays in the league, but if you want to be a team that's contending – if not this year, at some point, you're going to have to be able to compete with some of those best power plays in the league. It's not enough to just say, oh, well, they're really good. You want to at least be competitive with some of those top teams in the league. Last night, I thought special teams played pretty well. And I understand they gave up a power play goal. That was the one goal that they did give up to New York last night, was a shorthanded one. But overall, your evaluation of special teams, because that's going to be one thing that I'm looking at over the next few games.
Yes, that will be important to keep ironing that out, keep improving that area. The power play was outstanding last night. They scored two power play goals, and I thought they had good, consistent motion. Even though they lost Cody Glass, they got rewarded for some of the things they had been doing, but they were moving it well. You can tell they've been working at it.
Yeah.
They ran a set play. You don't see a lot of set plays in hockey. The only time you can really run set plays or is if you win a faceoff, and especially in a power play where you know where your guys are going to be.
Yeah.
So if you look at that goal that Ryan O'Reilly scored, that's a look that, basically you work on in practice. If we win this faceoff, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Based on what we think the other team is going to give us coverage-wise. So that's one thing that I can, as a basketball guy, I can see a set play, in a basketball game. In hockey, most of the game is a flow. It's a free flow. You can't really – it's concepts. It's not really you're going to go here, you're going to go over here, then I'm going to pass it over here. But on a set play off a face-off, you can. And so you saw them really execute it perfectly.
Yeah.
That was well done. And then on the penalty kill, the only one they gave up – well, one of the biggest plays in the game, they got a penalty kill. Cole Smith came out of the penalty box, and the puck arrived right there. That was a little lucky.
Right.
But they got the kill, and he goes down and converts it. That was a huge swing in the game. And so instead of the Rangers maybe tying the game with their power play, suddenly the Predators were ahead 2-0.
Right.
And the only penalty...
Cole Smith, MVP.
Mm-hmm. Cole Smith, MVP
Dick
of the game last night.
Cole Smith.
Yes, Cole Smith last night, MVP, hands down.
We need more Cole Smith.
Yeah, get some more Cole Smith. Let's see what happens tomorrow. That'd be interesting. The only power play goal they gave up was a little bit of a bugaboo of they took a couple of bad penalties at the end of the set. They're up 4-0.
Which is going to plague any team.
And they're ahead 4-0. It's like, look, it's hard to dominate for 60 full minutes. You're going to have a little bit of a letdown, but they took two in a row. And the 5-on-3 goal was a goal that banked off of Ryan McDonough. I mean, it's a little bit of bad luck. But they survived it. They didn't give up two. You know, that's the kind of thing where all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh. If you give up two, a 5-on-3 and then a 5-on-4 to start the third period,
it's not good.
Suddenly it's a game again. Mm-hmm. But they didn't let it get there.
Looking forward to Saturday, to Gun San Jose, back at Bridgestone Arena. You know, it feels weird to come out of a win, a 4-1 win on the road against a really good team with one of the best goaltenders in the world and say, do you expect any roster shakeup? But we saw that last night. Michael McCarron in for Philip Tomasino. Do you expect that to be maybe the norm moving forward? And then the young guys, the Novak, Evangelista, Tomasino line, you know, you're seeing a little bit of shakeup there. Do you expect to see a return?
I think.
Or even more of a changeup? Are you going to stick with what's working?
I think we'll have to see what happens with Cody Glass. I think there's a chance he may miss tomorrow just based on he didn't come back.
Right.
He left so early in the game and he never even came back on the ice, to my knowledge, and even looked like he was trying to skate it off or fight through it or anything. So that concerns me. So that might force a change if he can't play tomorrow. McCarron played very well. But this might be an opportunity for Tomasino to come back in. You have the versatility of a guy like Colton Sissons who can slide over. He was going to play wing last night. He ended up playing some center because Glass went out. So you easily can keep Sissons there. That opens up a wing spot. So you could go Tomasino, or it could be an opportunity to get Sammy Fagimo in there for the first time. He's been sitting there going, hey, guys, you picked me up. You picked me up. I'm in the uniform here. Put me in, coach. Come on.
Coach, I'm here.
So I'm sooner or later, you got to see what this guy can do, right? Mm-hmm. You picked him up for a reason. But, it might force a little shuffling there. But I don't think anybody that played last night is giving them a reason to take him out of the lineup. I thought everybody was, for the most part, contributing last night.
Now, Yossi did bring up, you know, the aggressive play that they had last night. Do you think they can continue this, or did you see the aggressive play? Because after a win, you know, things like this do come out. After a loss, maybe they played aggressive, but it's like, man, why do I say that? And we lost anyway. But have you seen the aggressiveness in this Pred team, and do you think after last night they can continue that?
Let's see if Chris Mason has a good answer to
that. Yes, that's a good question for him.
He will join us coming up next. We'll get his evaluation, what he saw last night, and really an evaluation of this Preds team through five games, of Andrew Brunette's first five games at the helm. So we'll chat with Chris Mason coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We'll have Ask D. Mace in 1 hour.
Absolutely.
So get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Anything is on the table. Calls, texts, Titans-related questions. We'll get to those in 1 hour. But today is the day of Masons. Chris Mason will join us very shortly. Chris Mason brought to you by Coleman Tractor and Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. I think one thing that I'm interested to hear from C. Mace is his experience in the league, or really in his career, of a transitioning team and being a veteran of a transitioning team. Because I think that rightfully so, a lot of highlight is on the young guys, because that's what we want to see. That's what we want to hear, is the young guys and their development, the future of this team, but also being a Yossi or a Forsberg. And not necessarily a Nyquist or an O'Reilly, because I think those guys, albeit veterans, knew what they were signing up for.
Yeah.
Of joining this hockey club. But Forsberg and Yossi didn't necessarily sign up for this. Not to say that they're not totally and completely on board with the transition, but just the perspective of being a veteran player and wanting to win in this league, being on winning teams, and taking a couple steps back as a club in order to take a couple steps forward.
Do we have and I'm sure you know, C. Mace would have a really good answer to that. But as a former, you know, player, not necessarily in a hockey in the NHL, but just in a professional league, I think if it's when you have veteran guys on the team and you know that that is coming, like the transition is coming, I think as long as everything is communicated amongst like the veteran guys and the head coach, I think it's you accept it better. That's why I think coaches, you know, when they come in, new coaches, they form their veteran, you know, sort of group, and they talk throughout the season to make sure everybody's on the same page. And I think, you know, Brunette is no different, I think, from any other coach. When you have a team that is sort of making that transition, you want your veterans to be a part of the dialogue that's going on.
Yeah.
And to make sure that the message he's preaching is being conveyed to the younger guys by the older guys. Because a lot of times, eventually, younger guys, they don't stop listening to the head coach, but it sounds better coming from the veteran guys. Right. They tend to listen a little bit more when it comes from the veteran guy than opposed from when it comes from the coaches. Because it seems like always, if coach saying something, it's the coaches getting on me. He's always getting on me. Whereas the veteran guy comes in and he's essentially saying the same thing that the head coach is saying, but in a different way, so it's more acceptable. Yes, it's more acceptable. So,
one of the things that we're going to hit on our pregame show tomorrow, because it's interesting you brought that up because of the opponent tomorrow, and I touched on this
also
a little bit earlier.
Very much so in transition,
but in a different way.
Yeah,
right. They would be in the category of long term rebuild. So imagine if you're let's just take their best player, Tomas Hertl, great player. And played on a team that went to the Stanley Cup final when he was a young player. He's been with the Sharks his whole career. Just signed an 8-year extension for big, big money recently. So he's got a long way. He knows he's going to be a Shark.
Yeah.
But he also, and there's a couple other guys still on the Sharks that have been there. Logan Couture would be another one that goes way back to when they were a consistent winner, which is not too far removed. But they started really dropping off the last couple years. And so they have changed general managers. Mike Greer is the general manager, and he's got a long-range plan. They're breaking it down. They traded Erik Karlsson, who was the Norris Trophy winner last year, for future assets. So they are – it's going to be a while. That's a different kind of rebuild and transition than what the Predators are trying to do, right? I'm not saying either one is going to sink or swim. Only time will tell. Both can work. Like, Ottawa has been a long, long rebuild. They're hoping this year is the year that they blossom, right?
It be considered a rebuild now? Have you been in for long?
Their fans have got to be going, okay, let me see it. My gosh. You know, but they've locked in all of their young players that they wanted to lock in. It is time to win. And I'm still not sure they're going to win. The Red Wings are the same thing. So they're hopefully coming out of it.
Yeah.
The Sharks are just going into it. Mm-hmm. The Blackhawks are just kind of going into it. The Ducks are a year or two into it, but it's a long road. The whole idea of, hey, let's lose, we'll get the high pick and get the franchise guy. So that's the Blackhawks have one franchise guy. They got clobbered last night with the Avalanche. They're probably not going to win a whole lot this year, but they feel like in a couple years that's how you load up your roster, and hopefully that will happen for them. Hopefully it won't happen from the Predators' standpoint. Anaheim's first pick in the draft last year, Leo Carlson played his first game last night, scored a goal, but they lost, right? It's still a long way to go for them. So I think to answer your question, Josi, Forsberg, Saros, guys that are can remember the really good times when they had a loaded roster, and they're looking ahead and saying, okay, what's coming? I think it's easier to sell, hey, it's just going to take a year or two. We've got this new wave coming up. We're not breaking it all the way down. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay competitive. I think that's an easier sell than for a veteran playing for the Sharks or the Ducks or Chicago, especially one that's been there for a long time that remembers when they were really good. Like Jonathan Toews, he didn't want it. And Patrick Kane, they were like, I ain't doing this, man.
We're out of here.
I'm out.
Because they're closer to retirement.
Yeah, like so if I'm going to keep playing, I got to play for somebody that's going to win. I can't go through a full rebuild. You know, even as huge pillars as they are, they're going to have, they may have statues out there. I don't know. I mean, they're some of the greatest of all time, three cups. But even those guys who are Blackhawks through and through are like, I can't do this.
Now, do you think that's why, you know, Trotsky chose to term it something different than a rebuild? Because if you term it a rebuild, now you got the veteran guys who didn't ask for the rebuild, who wasn't on, you know, necessarily on board, not to say they're not, but they necessarily weren't on board with a complete rebuild. But if you sort of frame it as it's not a rebuild, it's sort of a retool. Hell, I don't even know what to call it at this point.
I don't think he knows what to call
but
it.
It's sort of a retool because we still have enough good players and young players that are good that we can win games and we can find ourselves at the end of the season. You know, maybe it's the last two or three teams in, you know, that gets in the playoffs, but we still find ourselves in a position where we want to be in the playoffs. And I know a lot of, you know, fans may say, well, you're not going to do anything in the playoffs. No, it's not about that. It's about the experience these younger guys can get when they get into the playoffs, whether we skated in the playoff, whether we got in the playoffs and we knew we were going to get in the playoffs, or we got in the playoffs the last week of the hockey season.
And I think the difference surrounding that of the playoff conversation is last season it was, okay, wait, we're going to get in the playoffs and then get clobbered in the first round again with these veteran guys where we don't really see a light at the end of the tunnel, where it just feels like, you know, this is what it is and this feels like this is the ceiling of this hockey club at this point. Whereas now, that can no longer be the conversation of, oh, well, just getting to the playoffs isn't good enough, because it's a different vibe. It's a different feel. It's a different perspective, and it's a different direction.
Well, getting to the playoffs, I think, and listen, we are far from that. We got so many more games left. But I'm talking about from the standpoint of the season, how the season goes. You know, your first five or six games are tough games, but you manage to pull out two, three wins in this stretch. Now you run against the San Jose team who is in a rebuild. How do you now respond after beating a Rangers team that was pretty good? Do you take your foot off the gas pedal, or do you continue to mash down and continue to play the brand of hockey that coach wants you to play and wants you to get used to playing?
That's where over 82 games, I think the best teams emerge. That's why I never took it for granted that they made the playoffs, even though it was the painful ending of losing in the first round. Over 82 games to get to the playoffs is an accomplishment. So you do have to have your – if you're constantly losing to the teams that are tanking, that's going to make it really hard. And if you can't on occasion go into a tough atmosphere and beat a team, it's going to be hard to make it, you know. So there has to be that consistency. And that was one of the things that – how many times did we harp on last year's team? Of just every time it looked like they were starting to get it going in the right direction for a week, then they would step back for a week.
It was low valleys and not high enough.
Yeah, very inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some of your Predators thoughts. We'll chat with Chris Mason here in just a bit. But let's get into your Preds thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Shane in the Borough Texan says the Nashville Predators are the most exciting professional sports team in Tennessee. I
could
disagree with that at the moment.
Hey, the soccer team was exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to give it up for them. But, I mean, yeah, I guess he's right. I mean, beside the hockey team.
Let's see how we feel on Monday.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Wednesday. I don't know.
But
everything's very exciting at this point in the season.
I think either way. I mean, you know, this team, you know, I would love for them to, you know, go on the streak, win a division, all that other stuff. But I think realistically, you look at it and say, this is a team that, you know, has some really good, you know, veteran players. They got some guys from, you know, young guys that we think can play that has shown up here and there. So we have a hockey team that may be up and down, but it seemed like, you know, we're going to get some excitement out of this team. And the excitement may be, you know, them scoring a lot of goals, them winning a lot of games. And, you know, well, the excitement may be them scoring a lot of goals, but then end up still losing some games. Yeah. So, but I think, again, as we talked about yesterday with the quarterback, you just want to see them get better. 2% better or 1% better, whatever it is. You just want to, every time they go on an ice, the team's either getting better or someone individually is getting better.
Right now, it is just remarkable mm-hmm. how the energy has flipped. Because even when they won mm-hmm. last year, and I would come on here and say, okay, look, they've won three in a row. They've beaten some quality opponents. They were still like, yeah, but.
But you know why that is. You know why that is.
They're not that good. And that would frustrate me. But to a large degree, that was kind of the feeling of the fan base. They had just kind of had it. And this year it's different. I think even after a loss, it's like, well, okay, it's still. I like the young guys. I like where it's going. I mean, there's just a different attitude towards
it
right now.
It's this.
With the newness, that's what happens when you start over a little
bit. Mm-hmm. It's this. Okay, you have your five-year-old, and then you have your 10-year-old. When your 10-year-old continues to do things, it's like, I'm frustrated. Like, come on,
you
get it.
Now,
you know
this.
Better. But when your five-year-old does it, it's like, okay, he's learned. He or she is learning. I'm a little bit more patient. Even though you should be patient with a 10-year-old, too. But you figure you've lived more life. You've heard me scream and yell, don't do that. But you still continue to do it. I think that was last year for the Predators. It was like when they would come on, when we would come on, and it was like, well, they won. And people would call in and say, okay, but, you know, this team's still the same team. As opposed to this year, they can't say it's still the same team because it's a good mixture of young and old, and they have a new head coach and a new GM.
And it also, you know, the changing of the message, I think, is the one, intentions and the goals, and two, how you're winning or losing games. I think last year a big point of mine, at least, was, yeah, but take away the goaltender being literal Superman, and then what does it look like? And now it's like, maybe you're losing games, but it feels like there's a little bit of fire. It feels like this new system is starting to connect. And it's a different intention. It's a different vibe. It's a different goal for the season. That it's not, hey, we need to win a playoff series. It's, let's see what we can do. Our ceiling is what it is. Our floor, it is what it is. But everything in the middle, we're just having fun with it, and we're seeing how we can build a hockey team.
And the exciting thing to me is, in theory, you still should get, over the course of the 82 games, some steals from UC Saros. He's led the league in steals the last two or three seasons, if you take a look. I mean, nobody steals more games in the regular season than he does, and he really hasn't stolen a game yet. So, because he's not a, you know, I wouldn't say he's off to a bad start or anything like that, but he's doing his job, but there are times where he will put on the Superman cape, and that hasn't happened yet, because he's traditionally, he gets better as the season goes on.
And well, that's even saying he had a shutout, in game two?
Yeah, but that's the difference, though, and even last night. He didn't have to work that hard in either one of those games. The play in front of him, they didn't give up a whole lot. That is real. That's exciting.
It is exciting. Mm-hmm. It is, absolutely. We'll continue to get back into your Predators thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a Predators thought. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.
You know, especially after the loss to Edmonton, how important was it to get this win, especially with some of those greasy goals that you guys were talking about?
Yeah, it was nice to get rewarded. We've created a lot of opportunities here in the first four games and haven't really reaped the benefits of it. And tonight we got a couple greasy ones, and it was nice to see Phil get on the board with that shot and the power play a little bit. So we did a lot of good things. But I really liked our game away from the puck. I thought that was really important tonight. Welcome!
There you go. That was Andrew Brunette post-game yesterday, and a little bit of a Predators tidbit, a little bit of an update coming in from Max Herz. Cody Glass was not seen at practice today. Again, he exited the game early last night with a lower body injury, but we'll continue to update everyone with news about Cody Glass as it comes in. But well, well, well.
Mm-hmm.
Look who decided to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Mason joins us now. See, Mace.
You got to be fashion related. That's what they tell me. So, I mean, I apologize. My parents are coming today. I was cleaning and I had my ringer off, and I'm like, oh my God, I checked the phone and I got one from Willie. He goes, Earth to Mace. Oh boy.
You know, that's the excuse I use too, Mace. Yep. Same excuse. My parents coming in town. You know, there it is.
Now, they haven't been here since before COVID, so this is kind of a...
This is a big deal.
They better have a house clean, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
All right, Mace, I asked Derek, as a former captain of the kangaroo court, you know, from the NFL locker rooms, what would be a proper punishment? This is what he came up with. D-Mace, what do you got?
Okay, this is what I got, C-Mace, for you. Because I enjoy... You know, on Instagram, the bag chucking into the room. Okay. I watch it every time y'all post it. I watch it. I think it's on Twitter or X, whatever they call it now. But yeah. I watch it every time. So the punishment for you is this, and it's a really good skit too. Everybody throws their bags in, and as you get ready to throw yours in, Hal stops you, closes the door, and walk away, and you have this, and then they put it in slow motion in black and white. You have this look on your face, and you walk away with your bags in your hand. You do not get the bag chucked this game.
I don't get to be part of the group. I get ostracized and called names and excluded. Let's do it.
You've been penalized one chuck. It's a one chuck penalty.
Yep. I love the kangaroo court, too. That's awesome. I love the I'll accept that.
We're happy to have you on board, C-Mace. Well, one thing that we've been discussing, you know, the past hour is just kind of a state of the Preds through five games. And as we've said, look at that with a disclaimer and with an asterisk of it's a really long season. There's a whole lot of hockey left to be played. But through five games, how have you seen this Andrew Brunette system kind of take place?
Well, honestly, probably quicker than I expected because in the preseason, at times it looked not really good at all. I thought they looked okay at points in the last couple games, but there's just certain points where it just looked like just discombobulated and there's hesitation in guys' decision-making, which is natural because, you know, you look at a guy like Colton Sissons, and I actually talked to him about this because he said in training camp and in the preseason, he's like, am I supposed to leave the zone right now? And he was just fighting all of his defensive instincts because, you know, when you're playing, in a defensive system where the details and there's a lot of structure revolved around, you know, the way that you're set up in zone, the way that you defend, and the way that you plan on attacking offensively together. This is a completely different mindset. So players have to get used to it. It takes a while for it to become second nature. So, for example, you know, in the defensive zone now, I'm sure you guys have noticed, you know, they get possession. There's guys leaving the zone as soon as one of the defensemen or whoever touches the puck, and they're trying to stretch out the defenseman. They're trying to go through the neutral zone, create some more space in the neutral zone so they can come up with speed, and they're just a full attack mode. Instead, before they would wait, Roman would skate it or whoever, they'd come up together and try to get through the neutral zone like that, establish the forecheck, and now it's back and forth. So I think that Seattle game, I think, you know, you look at the schedule that they've had, like I was honestly worried. I was like, Boston's going to be tough. You know, we're going to have trouble with this team. And we went right toe-to-toe with them. A couple penalties. They win a one-goal hockey game. You know, same with the Rangers. We just got blown out by Edmonton. You know, they actually, I thought they played half decent against Edmonton, even though they got pumped 6-1. But, you know, you sure you guys talked about that. You give that power play some opportunities, a couple bad penalties, it's game over, and that's what happened. But they go into New York last night, and they dominated. They outplayed them, they outworked them, they outchanced them. They chased one of the best goaltenders in the league. So I think if you look at the stuff, and I'm sure Willie's talked about this analytically, the eye test, you put it all together, and it's a much more exciting team. But they're creating more offense, and they're not giving up, you know, a ton of chances. They outchanced they smoked the Rangers. That's one of the best. This is a team people are talking about to win to be in the mix for competing for the Stanley Cup. So I like it. It's still got a ways to go, obviously. You know, there's, you can always improve and get better and, you know, get a little more connected. But they've got the effort, and I think they're really starting to get the concept of the system. It looks really good.
We're talking with C. Mace, one half of the television broadcast, and the other half is sitting to the right of me, Willie Donick. Now, C. Mace, Yossi said after the game he enjoyed seeing the aggressive nature, or they played aggressive this game. Now, we know with the change in philosophy, they want to be more up-tempo. Is that what you're seeing? And do you think now the older guys now have already bought into it, and now you're starting to see the younger guys buying into it as well? And hopefully over the course of the season, you'll start to see that more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you first hear that as a player, especially, I mean, D-Mace, you're an offensive player yourself. You want to get in, you want to score, you want the ball, you want the puck. These guys want to attack. It's a lot more fun when you're playing offense. It's hard defending. It's hard work. It's a commitment to defend, especially, you know, if you're going to be really structured and spend a lot of time in the defensive zone, it really tight and at the net front, you could spend a lot of time keeping the perimeter. But when you get the puck and attack and you have the freedom, I think it just kind of lifts a huge weight off of, yourself as a player to be able to be creative, to go for it, to say, hey, we want to play an exciting brand, you know, and the older guys, and there's a lot of guys on this team, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, he's put up points, but he's a pretty good two-way defensive natured player. He's played with a lot of structure in some of the teams that he's played with. We talked about Sissons and, you know, Nyquist and all these guys. So it does take a little bit of getting used to. And I think Yossi's adjusting as well. He's still, you know, getting involved and doing it. He doesn't have really much to show for it, but he's having to adjust too, because I think you look back to the last few years, you know, you give him the puck in the defensive zone. He was obviously one of the best in the league at, you know, taking the puck all the way up the ice himself and then entering the offensive zone and try to start, you know, rushes that way. And I think what Andrew Brunette wants a little more of is of him moving the puck up to the forwards and then joining the rush late to be able to create that way, because essentially, you know, the puck moves faster than even Roman Josi skating. So you get up the ice a lot quicker and you're on the attack sooner. So that'll take some time, I think, too. And he's got to find out the balance of, you know, of him taking the puck and moving it and joining and all those types of things. But I really think if you look at the guys now, they're having fun. They love it. They've got a really good core group of players. And I think it's exciting for, you know, these guys to be able to see what they can do with this, you know, type of system.
Mace, I want to ask you about Philip Forsberg's goal last night on two fronts. Number one, as a goalie, you don't see as many slap shots these days, and he absolutely crushed that puck. I think it was 97 miles an hour, I think we went back and looked. But why was that? Why do people not shoot the slap shot as much? That's part one.
Well, part one for a goaltender, I could go in net myself right now, and if you can pick anybody in the league from, you know, just inside the blue line, they could take, you know, 10 slap shots on me and they probably wouldn't score, because it's easy to read. There's not a lot of deception. There's no, you know, you don't, you know, on a wrist shot or a snapshot, you change the angle, you'll pull the puck in, you'll either open up, you'll get the goalie, it will have to have a little motion to his right to cover that side where you pull the puck if you're a right hand shot. And then, you know, you have the ability to really go either short side or far side with the goaltender's momentum moving the opposite way. Whereas a slap shot, it's hard, but it's like, you know, someone pitching you a ball, you know, they can pitch as fast as you want, but you know where it's coming from. If it's a fastball, it's not going to move. It's just coming straight at you. So you put your glove there. So that's essentially why a slap shot isn't used as much, unless you see one-time situations. But when you're talking 97 miles an hour, and you're coming down and you just go all around the middle of the ice, all around that traffic. I mean, Shesterkin barely moved. He went down, obviously, like every goaltender is going to do. He went down, but he didn't move. I watched for the goalie's eyes and head. He didn't even move. So Philip just, you know, just pure blunt force trauma just blew it right by Shesterkin. And I think it caught him, because, you know, tendencies. He's not a big slap shot guy. He's a yeah. shooter. But he's a snapshot, he's a wrist shot, he's got a really deceptive release. So I think he caught him off guard. And then when you put you know, that kind of mileage on it, that's and the accuracy, that was pinpoint. Like, that was a perfect shot.
Okay, so we have only about a minute left. My dream, I have a dream, Mace, that mm-hmm. you and Skillsy will someday be on the show. I think you guys would fit in well on the Pat McAfee show. I mean, you guys have the style, you can roll with those guys. And I love, and we're watching the show right now. It's at Ohio State, the land of Lindsey Rowley, right? The,
as
the
he's dressed
Buckeye
up
land.
As Lou Holtz.
Yeah, he's got a guy dressed up as Lou Holtz. But this is such a great thing for the game, because he is starting to pay attention to the NHL. He's got a little segment on his show. Hockey is awesome. And last night, that was the clip. So Phil is breaking barriers.
He's breaking barriers. Exactly. But that's, you know, the more exposure to this game, and you talk to a lot of people from here, you know, that have never seen hockey before when the Preds first got here, and now they're, you know, day one season ticket holders. You just need that exposure. And obviously in the South, and there's a lot of sports ahead of hockey. There's no question. The one thing I would love to see hockey, I think, is holding its back. I just don't think there's as many personalities that are just going to captivate you like they do in football. And, you know, baseball's got a few, but football, mostly basketball, they have the more freedom to just be themselves and be, you know, out there, where I think hockey is behind in that. And I'm not sure if it's the players or the way the league markets the players, but I think that's the next step, because, you know, if you cheer for people too, obviously you love your sport, but if you can find some good polarizing personalities, I think that will help it even more, you know, grow the game, because obviously I'm partial. I love the game of hockey, and it's exciting. And I think more people get exposed to it, and those things kind of help. So hopefully you can get some guys to come out of their shell a little bit.
Hey, I mean, Philip Forsberg and his bestie pop, George Kittle.
There we go.
That's a like segment of the McAfee Show.
Yeah.
That's a good bromance.
Phil flowing with the mustache and his buddy Kittle. That would be a great segment.
We'll have our people call their people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might be even better than Hal and Mace, but maybe not though. Hal and Mace can bring it. The bag chucker thing and the McAfee Show, that's a go. That's a go.
Kittle's hilarious. That guy, that's a personality. That's a guy that gets out there, and, you know, he needs to bring that out of Phil. Phil's got a great personality too, but I think hockey players are a little tentative to show it on camera and interviews and stuff like that. So we'll have to work on it.
See, Mace, you're the best. Appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, E-Mays. Chris Mason, he is the absolute best, even if he's late. But I want to transition to a little bit of
He's been penalized one chuck.
Yep.
One chuck. By D-Mace. One chuck down.
The second offense, three chucks.
Oh, three chucks. The hat trick.
We up the ante.
Yeah, that's a lot of chucks.
That's a lot of exactly. Chucking.
Might have to get the bellhop instead of chucking the bag.
You got to pay the bellhop. That's all you got to do. Yep.
Willie's going to have to take over chucking duties.
Right. Oh, boy.
I want to transition to a little bit of Titans coming up next. A little bit of a Titans report card, because as the Titans have a lot of really difficult decision-making to do, I think that everyone is subject to evaluation. Anyone can be thrown under the microscope. We've thrown Mike Vrabel under the microscope, but one aspect of Mike Vrabel's evaluations isn't just the guys that he brings in to play on the field, but the coaches that he brings in on his staff. We've already had one person have a spicy take about a Titans coordinator, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older, and in Tennessee to bet.